Now our lesson for today will take us into the 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. If you were to read this chapter, you would very soon take note of the fact there are two distinct sections in it. The first 18 verses have to do with those who contended with Peter. And so these verses show us this contention, the reason for it, and the results of it. Then from verses 19 through to the end of the chapter, we are given some record of the church at Antioch. Now, if you were to read through then these opening verses, you'd discover this, that the contention with Peter arose because of what he had done in going into the house of the Gentiles. That is, going up to the house of Cornelius in Caesarea. So when the news reached the believers in Judea, who of course were Jews that had been converted to Christianity, these believers in Judea, when they heard that the blessings of the gospel had gone out to the Gentiles, and that Peter was responsible for going among the Gentiles and eating with them, it created a difficulty. This was contrary to all the religious traditions of the Jews. And this is something we must take note of, that Christianity cut across many established traditions. However, they had to listen to what Peter had to say. So when Peter arrived in Jerusalem, he was immediately confronted with questions regarding his actions. Two charges are leveled against him. Number one, that he went in among the uncircumcised. Number two, that he ate their unclean food. Now we must face this, that Christianity has cut across many traditions. But when the expression of the gospel and the way that the gospel reaches out to people cuts across our preconceived ideas, we should take time to consider things in the light of the Word of God. Now remember, Peter was being charged here by his fellow countrymen, so to speak, those like himself who had been Orthodox Jews. Now, Peter's best form of defense was simply to relate how God prepared him for this particular work, and that he must not speak of anyone being unclean if God has cleansed them. It's a strange thing, this, that the great commission for the gospel was they were to carry the message to all nations, make disciples of all nations. Now, irrespective of a person's nationality, and no matter what their ethnic group may be, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Now, Peter at first didn't want to go amongst the Gentiles until God fully persuaded him and taught him it was the right thing to do. And the only thing that Peter could do here when they were contending with him was simply to relate how God led him. And this is the best form of reply to any charges. If the gospel is carried to people, ask yourself this: has any scriptural principle been violated? You see, we are so apt to think that if a thing is not done our way, that it must be wrong. And if it's not carried out the way we think it should be carried out, then we're apt to say it's wrong. But remember this, the test for it is, has the scriptural principle been violated? Now, there was no scriptural principle violated when Peter was obedient to the Word of God, was obedient to what God related to him, and he carried the message to the Gentiles. Now the result of Peter's reply was simply this, that the believers in Jerusalem had no further argument against Peter or against what Peter told them, what he had done, because they recognized that this was the work of God. it's a good thing when we're able to make an assessment correctly. Now that being so, we come now to verse 19 of this chapter, and from verse 19 to the end we have some very interesting information about the commencement and the growth of the church in the city of Antioch in Syria. I want to remind you that this church at Antioch became a great missionary center. From this church, men went out to carry the gospel not only into Asia Minor, but ultimately over into Europe. So therefore, it should become very interesting for us. Now let me read those verses from verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. There stood up one of them named Agabus, signified by the Spirit that there should be great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which they also did, sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now, coming to this particular section then, dealing with this church at Antioch, the first thing we take note of is the simple commencement of this church. I might say here that it is an interesting study to read through the Acts of the Apostles and find out how these various churches came into existence. Now, I suppose it's instructive because a lot of people today have their set ideas, their traditional ideas, as to how a church should be commenced. It all depends, of course, as to what denomination one may be affiliated with. Now, you see, there are certain people who have a set up of what you would call church government, and according to their particular church government, the form of it, they'll tell you how churches are commenced. But I wonder if they've ever stopped to test themselves by the Word of God. When you read through the Acts of the Apostles, as I have told you in previous studies, that in the Acts of the Apostles here we have the record, the authentic record, of the first 30 years or so of church history. And here we find in this book how certain churches came into existence. Now remember, they didn't all start the same way. There was no particular form set down. When you come to the church at Antioch, it had a very simple commencement. First of all, there was the preaching by some unknown persecuted preachers. That's what it says in verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phineas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Notice, we are not told the names of these men. We don't know who they were. They were just persecuted Christians. And then it says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. In plain words, they went beyond the bounds, so to speak, of the old traditions. They were prepared now to speak to Gentiles as well as Jews, which of course was scriptural. Now notice then, these were men whose names are not given to us. They were just unknown, persecuted preachers. But take note, the hand of the Lord was with them, and many people believed. You see, verse 21 makes it quite clear. God was with them in blessing. He blessed the preaching of the word. And it says the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. It would be very interesting to know if, of course, historical records had been properly kept, how many people in times of persecution moved from one place to another, and when they reached the new place, they simply began to preach, people heard their testimony, and were converted. It may be that they preached publicly by holding services, or it may be they simply bore their testimony privately, maybe in their own homes, or they testified to their neighbors, and as a result, the hand of the Lord would also be with them, and people believed. Now, as the result then of this preaching, and as the result of people hearing the message and believing, those who believed gravitated together and were formed into a local group of believers known as the church in Antioch. There's no record of any great apostle coming along and pronouncing his blessing upon them, not a bit of it. They weren't started as a hive off from Jerusalem. They started, as it were, because the word of God was preached, and people were converted, and being of a kindred spirit, they would meet together as the church. This is one way in which the church commenced. Now, I remind you again, there were other ways in which churches commenced in other towns. God doesn't lay down one particular pattern and say it's got to be done this way, or else it's not right. Now then, there was a simple commencement of the church. Men and women got converted, they became believers, gravitating together, forming themselves into a group that were fellowshipping together. But now there comes the point of the strengthening consolation that was given to the church. Verse 22 says, when tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, that is, the believers down in Jerusalem heard about these things, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now I remind you again that Barnabas was a good man. We were introduced to him first of all as a giving man. Now Barnabas is not only a giving man, but he's a good man, and he's a gracious man, he's a godly man. And they sent the very best man they could send to investigate what was going on about Antioch. And he came to Antioch, and what he saw was this, the grace of God. And when he saw the grace of God, he was glad. Here was a man who could rejoice when he saw a work of God going on. Remember, he hadn't been there, he wasn't responsible for it. And neither was his friend Saul of Tarsus, he wasn't responsible for it. And Peter was responsible for it. Some unknown men whose names we don't know, had preached the gospel in Antioch. Sinners were saved, a church was started, and when Barnabas came up and he saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad. Now then, notice the nature of his ministry. Remember, he's the son of consolation. And his ministry is a ministry of consolation. Because when he came and had seen the grace of God and was glad, he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And then there comes the expression I've referred to, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now I want you to notice that they weren't added unto some particular denomination, they were added unto the Lord. And because they had a common attachment to the same Lord, they found themselves having a common attachment to one another. That's what draws myself to other Christians. When I find other men and women who know the same Lord as I know and have trusted the same Savior as I've trusted, I find I've got something in common with them. I'm not interested in what denominational name they've been given. I'm interested in this: do they know the Savior? And if they know the Savior and I know the Savior, we've got something in common. They're drawn together. Much people was added unto the Lord. Now notice the nature of the ministry. He ministered to them and exhorted them that they should cleave unto the Lord. Now this is good advice to every person who claims to be a Christian. If there has been a time, my friend, when you have trusted the Lord, here is the best piece of advice you can have. And it's the best piece of advice to pass on to any young believer. Simply this: cleave unto the Lord. Keep near the Lord. Stick close to the Lord. And if you keep near to the Lord, you'll never go wrong. But now, having given them this good ministry, he discovered this, that there was a need for their help. You know, some people think that they can do it all and that they don't need help. But Barnabas was not a man like that. Verse 25 says, "Then Barnabas departed to Tarsus for to seek Saul." Now you will remember, it was Barnabas who was one of the men who helped Saul to leave Jerusalem when he was going to be persecuted there, and they sent him away home to Tarsus. We're not told what Saul did when he went back to Tarsus, but we have a good idea. I guarantee that when he got back there, he was telling the story of his conversion, and he'd be telling other men and women in Tarsus about the Lord. But Barnabas knew he was there, and Barnabas went off to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You see, there was the strengthening consolation given to the church. First of all, here was Barnabas, and the nature of his ministry was cleave unto the Lord. But he knew that there was others who could give more ministry, and they needed a variety of ministry. So he went and got his good friend Saul, who had been converted some years before, and there was a need for further help, and so Saul came over. Now it's right here that the new name is given. It was here in Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. I think most of my listeners today will know this, that the word Christian is only found three times in the New Testament. Here's the first place that these believers were first called Christians. They're called disciples. The disciples were called Christians. See, a disciple is a follower. Here were those who were professedly following the Lord. And the disciples of the Lord then were given this new name, Christians. And first it was used in Antioch. Now again, Peter uses this word when writing his letter, and he says, "If any man suffer as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed of that." And then you'll find a man who was not a Christian said on one occasion, when Paul was testifying to him, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now I don't know whether the name Christian was given to them in ridicule, or whether it was given to them with every good intention and good meaning. I care not how it was given. I believe it's a good name. I'll tell you why. You see, in the early church, some had been Jews and were converted to Christianity, as we call it today. That is, they became disciples of the Lord. Then there were those who were Gentiles. They believed and they became disciples. Now remember, So far as the Jews were concerned, they were waiting for their Messiah to come. Now that word Messiah, when brought over into the Greek language, is Christ. They were waiting for the Messiah, for the Christ to come. All right. They believed that Jesus was the Christ. They became his disciples, his followers, so they were called Christians. They believed that Jesus was the Christ. But now, when you think of Christ, you think of the Anointed One. And so the message of Christianity is how he died, was buried, raised again, exalted to the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high, anointed above all his fellows. And those who were Gentiles have now become disciples. They followed him. He's the Christ. So he's the Christ to the Jews. He's the Christ to the Gentiles. They've got a common attachment to the same person. So therefore it's a good word to call them Christians. It's applicable to Jews who have been converted and applicable to Gentiles who have been converted. So therefore, if we are followers of the Lord, it's a good thing to be called Christians. It's the new name or the new designation. And then there is the spiritual communication from this church. Here is one of the first things that we notice with regards to Christianity. Now this is a very interesting thing. There came a man up to Antioch, and he came up from Jerusalem, and he told them that there was going to be a great death throughout the world that came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Now get this very straight. Notice now that here was something that was made known to them, and there was a ready response by the Christians to give help to others. Now surely that was an evident token of the work of the Holy Spirit and the recognition of the common attachment of each believer as being members in the same body. The relief was sent to Jerusalem by the hands of Barnabas and Saul and given to the elders to be handled according to their discretion. You see, the believers up in Antioch, who were first called Christians, heard that their fellow believers down in Judea were in need. And so out of perhaps you might say their abundance, they decided to send help to those who were in need. This, I suggest, has happened over and over again in the very center, you would say, of Christianity. Because when certain countries were doing well, the Christians there would send relief to fellow believers in other countries. On the other hand, even in one area, from one town to another, when certain people were in need, where there was unemployment, and when there was poverty, people from other areas would give of their abundance and send relief to their fellow Christians. Many a time things have been sent to missionaries to help the poor people in the area where they were laboring. Even today we have what we call our rescue missions and so on, in order to carry good tidings and also to help in a material way with those who are in need. And so from the first church that's called Christian, the church at Antioch, we find that these people had those who could minister to them, and they also ministered in a material way to other people.